Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries radio broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. We are dedicated to raising awareness, educating, and encouraging the body of Christ to minister to those who struggle with homosexuality. We believe restoration is available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and thanks so much for tuning in. We're so glad that you could be with us this morning as we continue turning our attention to really what is a crisis not only in the world, but equally in the Church of Jesus Christ. Approximately 23 years ago, God saw fit to birth His ministry called His Way Out, a ministry dedicated to raising awareness, equipping, and encouraging the body of Christ around the world to minister transformingly to both men and women with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. Last week, the very first broadcast of His Way Out Ministries, we turned our attention to the crisis of truth that we continue to face. This morning, I would like to take us in a bit of a different direction and focus on homosexuality and the reality of change. Now, many of you may be saying or asking yourself, change, is that really, really possible? Stay with me. Whether you and I are mindful of it or not, all of life is a journey. We are all going somewhere. Many of us felt that we had no power in the outcome of that journey, in this journey called life. But then Christ came into our lives as Redeemer, as Savior, and as our dearest and closest friend. For men and women struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction, too often there has been very little hope offered for changing the outcome. We are most definitely living in a time when American society in particular has all but abandoned a perspective given to us by the Bible of sexuality being confined to a heterosexual covenant, to the embracing of nearly just about any and all forms of consensual sexuality. And yet, God has not been silent to the cries of individuals wanting freedom from both homosexual feelings and behavior. Many men and women have experienced the transformation power of Christ Jesus that had them trapped in a battle with same-gender attraction. And today, solid, tangible hope continues to be offered to those men and women that are courageous enough to take the journey away from and out of the brokenness of same-sex attraction. To my personal knowledge, no man or woman has journeyed out of homosexuality or lesbianism apart from a deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe that to be so because I know at the very core of the brokenness of same-sex attraction, we are ultimately talking about a spiritual problem, and any and all spiritual problems will always require a spiritual solution. Today, Christians with gay-identified loved ones are often eager to share the good news of Christ, but they wonder how they can do so without sounding judgmental. Churches, too, they want to be involved with ministry to homosexuals, but they are often hesitant, being too unsure of just how to proceed. Never ever ceases to amaze me just how often I find myself having lunch with friends at any number of possible gatherings where the conversation often turns to the subject matter of homosexuality. Often feeling very unequipped on the subject as Christians, they're looking for answers to questions ranging from, is it genetic? Does the Bible really condemn homosexual practice? How can I love Christ and my gay neighbor without compromising what I believe? Questions like these and many, many others are definitely on the minds and hearts of Christians everywhere today due to the increased awareness of homosexuality in our society. Personally, I know there are many, many others, we still believe the church remains God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity. And when it comes to the brokenness of same-sex attraction, We, the church, we cannot and we must not underestimate ourselves. We, the church, hold the only answer there is to the crisis of homosexuality and the many, many related issues that we face today. Some time ago, I came home from church on a Wednesday evening, and I wasn't tired. I sat down, decided to click on the television, and I began to surf the channels. I ultimately landed on a news telecast that was obviously coming from a grand ballroom in this elaborate hotel in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. The ballroom was full of reporters, and I'm guesstimating that there was possibly several hundred individuals there. And what amazed me is that one by one, various ministers of the gospel representing just about every denomination, they were all there in attendance to talk about and to discuss homosexuality. So I paused and I stayed right there. I didn't move on. What was thrilling and so exciting to me is that each minister, they would make their way to the podium and they would address this grand assembly of both men and women, once again representing various denominations and with the news media out in force. And they would stand and they would cite both the Old and the New Testament scriptures that clearly define, in God's eyes, homosexual practice as a sin. But what really thrilled me is that in between each third or fourth minister of the gospel, a man or a woman whom God had set free from the snare, the brokenness of same-sex attraction, they would also make their way to the podium. And they would stand and look out once again over this grand assembly. And here's what they said. Ladies and gentlemen of the clergy, please, in Jesus' name, continue to preach and teach the truth and the authority of Scripture, where God has clearly defined homosexual practice in His eyes as a sin, not like many other behaviors. But they took things a step further. They said, if all you are going to do is say that homosexuality is wrong, that it's a sin, that is not good enough. And with that statement, I am shouting, yes, amen, and hallelujah. For this reason, there is a world of difference between just telling a person that something is wrong versus reaching to a person. You know, with all the talk today and the buzz about change, and specifically, can homosexuals really change? A lot of finger pointing is going on towards men and women struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction and the expectation, if not at times a demand, you must change. But I'm completely convinced that God is asking His church to change by opening our hearts to the sexually broken. So I want to be very, very clear. If we are bashing homosexuals, we do not love them as Jesus does. If we affirm the practice of homosexuality, we are not speaking the truth according to God's word. And if we are not offering ministry to those with unwanted same-sex attraction, we are not fulfilling the Great Commission. Pure, true, undefiled love seeks nothing higher than the welfare of people. All people. And I would submit that today, with all of the discussions going on regarding homosexuality, I hope, I pray, we will never ever lose our primary focus that ultimately homosexuality is not about an issue. This is all about people. People whom God loves and people for whom Jesus died. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. I, like many other men and women, once bought into the notion, once gay, always gay. After exhausting everything this world had to offer and everything that gay seemingly had to offer, I surrendered my life to Christ Jesus on October 5th, 1985, and everything in life changed. Freedom from the gay identity is indeed possible through a genuine, deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I would like to share with you the life-changing message, truth, and power of God's Word, which freed me from homosexuality. For more information, please visit HisWayOut.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. Some time ago, I was invited by a church to come and offer a presentation on His Way Out Ministries. Now, I take what I do very, very seriously, and being very grateful for the opportunity and invitation, I began to draft an outline, gather some of our ministry materials, spend time in prayer, because I was told in advance that I'd have approximately 30 minutes to present the ministry of His Way Out to the deacon board of this church. This was a fairly large church, and so the deacon board represented about 20 individuals, both men and women. Ultimately, the day of the presentation arrived, I'm at the church, I'm introduced, and I began sharing about His Way Out Ministries. I'm about 3 or 4 minutes into the presentation, and I've been sharing that at His Way Out, we believe Scripture is abundantly clear that homosexual practice in God's eyes is a sin. I was sharing that firm truth based upon the authority of Scripture, but I could not help but notice that just being a short time in the presentation, one individual, a man, and another individual, a lady, they were noticeably uncomfortable. But I continued on the presentation, and I ultimately shared that I was once an individual trapped by the brokenness of same-sex attraction, but God had set me free, and I had been out of the brokenness of same-sex attraction, or what many refer to as a gay lifestyle, at this point in time in the presentation, about 15, 16 years. I also shared that I believe the clarity of Scripture as a single man, that all single men and women, by God's perfect design, faithful followers of Christ Jesus, as single men and women, we are not to be sexually active, period. I shared that point as well. I continued on with the presentation, ultimately concluded, and the head deacon said, "Philip, would you mind taking some questions?" I said, "By all means, questions are important and they have value." Well, immediately, the man that I had noticed that was uncomfortable, his arm shot up like a missile, and he said, "So, Pastor Lee, you believe that homosexuality is a sin." I said, "Well, sir, with all due respect, it's not my personal opinion or feeling. I believe God's word is very clear that it is a sin. Again, not unlike other behaviors." And he responded with, "Well, you couldn't be more wrong." Then I understood why he was uncomfortable by what I was presenting. Next, a lady, her arm shot up like a missile. And she said, and I had to get in a bit of character here for this. She said, "Are you telling us for all of these years, these past 15, 16 years, you have led a life of celibacy?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, by God's grace, that's what I'm sharing with you." And her response is, "Well, I believe that is probably the saddest thing I've ever heard in my entire life." And I'm thinking at that point, well, isn't that special? But stay with me, it's better. She followed up by saying, "Didn't Jesus say that he had come to give us life and life more abundantly?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's John 10:10." And her reply was, "Well, then you should just be able to go out and do anything and everything you want to do." That unfortunate tragedy brought into crystal clarity that which I have known and many others have known for many, many years. The crisis we have faced, the crisis we face today, has not been about homosexuality. The crisis, the ultimate crisis we face today, is the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ. I am convinced that an appropriate question to pose is, do you and I follow only the red print in our Bibles, or are the teachings of Paul also to be included in the Bible's inspiration? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 tells us clearly that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God spoke each and every word in the Bible and man wrote it down. But today the dividing line for many seems to be whether or not the Bible is inspired and without error in its original delivery to the prophets from God, or whether it is just a collection of myths and man-made opinions. With Jesus as our perfect role model, Jesus confronted people all the time. Now, I want to be very, very cautious and clear here. There is a right way and there is a wrong way for confrontation to take place. When Jesus did confront anyone, he always did with an equal balance of both truth and grace. I hope, I pray, we never forget that truth is and truth matters greatly to God. And I would also add as a footnote, today, truthless grace accomplishes nothing. Therefore, as a faithful follower of Christ Jesus, when you and I have a feeling, a theory, an opinion, or a notion that contradicts Scripture, it should be rejected. It's crystal clear from Genesis chapter 1 and 2 that God created both sexes as complements and counterparts to each other. They were created in such a way to cleave together both physically and spiritually, and that they were to live in a heterosexual monogamous relationship. Since it was not good for the man to be alone, God created for the man a suitable helper, a woman. She was created from the man and then returned to him as his perfect complement. It is through the married union of a man and a woman which offers spiritual, psychological, and physical completion with the potential for creating new life. I believe I shared last week, but it bears repeating, I believe, that as a faithful follower of Christ Jesus, you and I only really have two options in God's eyes with regard to sexual expression. Number one is a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another, doing their utmost to stay within God's holy boundary lines of matrimony. That's option one. And option two really revolves around a question. Here's a question. Buckle your spiritual seatbelt. Here it comes. If you are single, you are not to be sexually active, period. Now go around the world and preach and teach that little number. And I guarantee you that today, even in some Christian circles, that is not well received. I believe God wants us to believe once again that he is perfect, that he loves us, and that his instructions and his commands are meant for our good to keep us from destroying his purpose that he has for each and every one of our lives. So what does the Bible have to say about homosexuality? Is all homosexual behavior forbidden, or just promiscuous relationships without any love or commitment? As much as you and I might like, no amount of argument or justification will ever change God's standard. A clear choice must be made. A person must examine themselves and ask this question: will I obey God's word, or will I seek to reinterpret it in order to fulfill my own personal sexual desires? Homosexuality is a topic that I speak to both professionally and personally. On October 5th, 1985, everything in my life changed. The 17 years prior to my surrendering my life to Christ Jesus, specifically on October 5th, 1985, those 17 years were spent habitually practicing what many refer to as a gay lifestyle. Ultimately, having exhausted everything this world had to offer, being a very highly successful individual, traveling the world because I worked for United Airlines, it was nothing for me to board a plane on a Saturday night in San Francisco and fly to New York just to attend a party. I ran with all the pretty people. I had thousands of dollars of artwork hanging on the walls of my homes, cars, and plenty of money to support a lifestyle that I had, at least at that time, no great sense that what I was doing was displeasing to God. It was really through the very powerful witness of my family. I did not know that my mother, my younger brother, who happens to be 8 years younger than myself, and my stepdad had all surrendered their lives to Christ. I was living still in the Bay Area, San Francisco. I would come to Bakersfield for a visit, and I would no sooner step into the home, our family home, when I noticed the atmosphere had completely changed. Something had occurred in my family that grabbed my attention. Ultimately, I came to know that they had each surrendered their lives to Christ, and they had fully consecrated their individual lives and collectively as a family to Christ Jesus. It was after spending the day once again with my family on this particular evening that I left my family home. I'm now living in Bakersfield by God's divine plan, and I'm sitting on the edge of my bed in the evening, and out of my mouth came these words: "Jesus, if you're really real, I need you to come, and I need you to come now." That was a little over 30 years ago. To this day, I've never fully told the whole story of what transpired that evening, but I knew God had heard my prayer, and I knew my life would never, ever be the same again. As I stood to my feet, I literally heard the chains of homosexuality snap, break, and fall. Because I was very heavily involved in the party lifestyle and all that contained, unfortunately, drug intake, alcohol intake, and very, very, very promiscuous, all of that came to a screeching halt. One of the miracles that immediately surfaced, and please hear me when I share this, it was indeed a miracle. I could not wait to get to church. My very limited interaction with the Christian community was anything but favorable. As a matter of fact, I had every reason to form the opinion that I wanted anything to do with the church and Christians. But God had a divine plan, and there I found myself for the first time in church with a group of people loving me in spite of knowing my background and a pastor who mentored me. His larger-than-life mentorship spoke volumes to me, and I found out for the first time in my life at the age of 35 what it meant to be not only a man, but more importantly, as a godly man. Today, when I'm speaking in churches and conferences, I always am purposed to make my way to the back of the assembly, and I stand there and look forward, and here's what I think to myself: this is good. This makes sense. This is decent, because where I came from made no sense whatsoever. How should the church be responding to homosexuality? For some churches, the homophobic attitudes of the past have led many congregations to directly or indirectly reject the homosexual for the sake of maintaining God's righteous stand. However, some churches today claim an enlightened understanding of homosexuality, and discarding traditional teaching, they have opened the church to unrepentant homosexuals. Seeing them as born gay, they're reaching out with compassion, but they're sacrificing righteousness in the process. There's a third response. Through the atonement of Jesus Christ and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, God has and he will be delivering men and women from the snare of homosexuality. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Our God remains a God of new beginnings and a God of restoration. He remains a God of hope and healing and deliverance, and his deliverance is available to all, including men and women bound by the brokenness of same-sex attraction. For those today would say, really, change is possible. Go with me here just for a second. God who spoke the universe into existence, God who has enabled the lame to walk, God who has enabled the blind to see, God who hung each star in its place, that very same God could not also bring healing to an individual's sexual orientation? Maybe if we stumble at receiving that and believing that, maybe once again we're really getting down to the nitty-gritty and the truth. Maybe it is a problem of our faith. When God tells us in his word once again not to do something, he's trying to protect us. But I believe, as a multitude of others do, we believe that through Christ who strengthens us, we are more than conquerors. Greater is he who's within us than he that's in this world. And we can do all things through him who is our strength. Let's remember, there is no special antidote for ministering to those with the brokenness of same-sex attraction any more than there is one for ministering to those with an unhealthy love for money or food or heterosexual sin, whatever the brokenness may be. The same God who sent his son for you also sent his son for the homosexual. When we embrace the truth of Scripture without compromise, Jesus empowers us to walk in his purposes. Once again, truthless grace accomplishes nothing. God is there for the individual struggling with their sexuality. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, clearly tells us that any man or woman struggling with a very long list of various habits, addictions, or compulsive behaviors, God has made provision through his Son for a way out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, you and I find, I believe, some of the sweetest words contained in the entire Word of God. And this is what some of you were. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 tells us very, very clearly that even thousands of years ago, men and women were struggling, combating various forms of brokenness. But they got out, including, and the passage is very clear by citing very specifically, homosexuality, which is offered in the middle of the list of the catalog of various forms of brokenness, which is very encouraging because it tells us that homosexuality in God's eyes is just another sin, no greater or less than another sin a man or a woman may be combating or struggling. But verse 11, I believe, offers us some of the sweetest words contained in the entire Word of God. And this is what some of you were. Past tense. Thousands of years ago, men and women, as they are today, are finding freedom from homosexuality through a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, I'm intrigued. Again, when I have the opportunity and the privilege to share in churches and conferences, someone will ultimately make their way to me and say, wow, Pastor Lee, freedom from homosexuality, what an incredibly new concept. It's not new at all. It's as old as when the Bible was first written. At His Way Out Ministries, we continue to see God restore broken lives, including men and women, once in an intense battle with same-sex attraction. With God, all things are possible. When you have the opportunity, I invite you please to take a visit to our website, hiswayout.com. There you will find a wealth of information, educational videos, testimonies, and articles, there to encourage you and to equip you to be more effective in reaching to those men and women struggling with aspects of their sexuality. We would love to come alongside of you in any way that we can to partner with you, being God's hands extended to the broken, partnering with you to see these men and women come to a place of healing, transformation, and wholeness. We believe it is very, very possible through Jesus Christ. Our Lord richly bless and keep you.
His Way Out is based on our concern regarding the issue of homosexuality, and we seek to minister to those within the church and the community at large with the truth of Scripture, the power of our testimony, and the dialogue of issues. For more information, contact His Way Out Ministries, 1830 Truxton Avenue, Suite 102 in Bakersfield, California, 93301. Or find them on the web, hiswayout.com, or call 661-432-7856. And join us again next time for His Way Out with Pastor Philip Lee.